Back together again, you and I wrapping it up for a Thursday, September 19th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. I wondered aloud what makes kids threaten their schools, coming off a couple of local incidents of school classes being canceled or delayed. CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks explained this week's announced interest rate cut by the Fed. Quinnipiac University computing and engineering professor Brian O'Neill talked about the mass explosion of beepers and walkie-talkies this week in Lebanon, while only in Bridgeport.com blogger Lenny Grimaldi updated us in real time on the latest court proceedings involving the Success Village Co-op.
So this is kind of a chicken or the egg thing here, and I'm not sure which way to interpret this, and you folks can help me out here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Once again, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. You heard right there at the top of the hour here on Connecticut Today, and again, great to have you with us. Chris Williams starting off the show with the the big news of the day that students were sent home early today from Bridgeport schools, and classes are canceled already for Friday. Schools will be closed Friday, says here in Hearst, Connecticut Media, in the story by Hannah Ikramuddin and Peter Yankowski, and more threats were posted online. So here's the question I have. And thankfully, nothing happened today. Hopefully, nothing happens tomorrow. We had this situation also in Ansonia as well. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not trying to play the old cranky, get off my lawn, pudgy, white, balding, Italian, suburban white guy. I'm not. Did this stuff happen when guys and gals, older than me, my age, a little bit younger, did any of this happen when we were growing up? No, honestly, seriously. And when I heard the news first this morning on Melissa in the Morning, and then the update with Lisa, and now the stuff with Chris here, and again, if you're just joining us, no, Bridgeport schools, they're closed tomorrow. Out of an abundance of caution, there was a problem in Ansonia as well. So is it social media that is allowing what the normal teenage or young child's angst to be vented out? Or are kids more disturbed today? See what I'm driving at here? Because, you heard about this today with Ansonia, and you heard about it with Bridgeport this morning. And we had the best coverage, I think, in the area of that this morning. And then this afternoon, we hear out of an abundance of caution, and that's always good, that we're going to have a scenario here where apparently schools are closed in Bridgeport tomorrow as well. Now, are kids more, because you cannot be sane to do this sort of thing. You can't. There is something going on with these kids. Now, and this is not, it's not just around here. You hear about it all the time, right? So you tell me, what is it? Is it that social media is highlighting kids who, for whatever reason, are maybe more disturbed, maybe more angry, maybe have more angst than you and I did when we were growing up, right? I mean, sometimes growing up, getting older, childhood, it's not all, peaches and moonbeams out there. It's not all kumbaya, hot tea, and a biscuit with butter. We all know that life can really suck from time to time. So what causes all this angst from teens that you hear about where school, there's school shootings, obviously. So this is what I'm wondering here. There's school shootings, there are threats against schools. We have to have these protocols put in place now. So what is it? Is it social media? Because I guess one of these threats was made over social media. So is it social media providing an outlet for kind of what every kid goes through? I mean, come on, growing up, right? There were times where, there was something to do in school, you were being bullied, there was family angst, there was angst among friends. One day you'd wake up and you literally hate the world. And out of a misplaced out of a misplaced desire to hurt someone or to inflict pain on someone because you hurt so much, you would do, you know, you would say, geez, if I get just, I mean, how many of us got in schoolyard fights? I had my share. Now, I laugh with the guys that today when we're in touch, hey, remember the time I popped you in the mouth? So when we hear stuff about like this, what happened in Ansonia today, what happened in Bridgeport, you know, I just got to wondering, was there this angst growing up? And again, I grew up in the 60s and early 70s, and thankfully I didn't have social media back then to be able to vent this, not just to my classmates, but the whole school and the entire world. Now, maybe it's something at home and this is what these kids do. I don't know. But what is it more? Is it, do you think? And let me know what you think at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Is social media showing us that kids are in a worse off way today? In other words, is social media the red flag up the pole? Is social media the canary in the coal mine? Or is the real problem that kids are, you know, more angry today? And is social media the way that they tell us that? Eric and Stanford, hang out. We'll be right to you after we do this, including traffic and weather together, all that coming up. So what do you think? Social media the problem, or social media just raising the flag and saying, hey, you parents, you guardians, you have got to be aware of this. All right, let's go for a quick check now. CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks going to chat with us for a couple of minutes on the Federal Reserve interest rate cut. Hey, Jason, good afternoon. Great to have you. So this was not so much a surprise, right? It was just the amount of the cut, yes or no?
Yes, Paul. Good to speak with you also. And The Fed was expected to cut interest rates. They put that on the table at the meeting in July. The half percentage point rate cut, though, was a bit of a surprise. The market for weeks had been expecting the Fed to be a bit more conservative as it started to ease lower on interest rates, and it usually reserves bigger jumbo rate cuts like this when the economy is in trouble. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that they didn't do that for that reason. They think the economy is still performing well, and they did it because they felt that inflation is moving towards the Fed's 2% target. The August Consumer Price Index was up 2.5%, so it has been gradually moving in that direction.
So, Jason, the average person maybe listening to you and I now are saying, okay, that's great. So what does that do for me to my credit card rates, student loans? I have a variable rate mortgage. How quickly, Jason, do people feel the effects of this, and what could those effects be?
It's going to take a little bit of time for these effects to sift through, starting with mortgage rates. The mortgage rates follow Treasury yields, in particular the 10-year Treasury yield, and we have not seen that yield respond yet to those rate cuts. The 10-year yield has actually risen a little bit, but it will probably come down as the Fed has lowered short-term interest rates. That will also affect variable interest rates. You mentioned credit card interest rates. Those right now are at record highs, averaging right around 25%. They will eventually pull back a little bit, too. Now, we're talking about a half percentage point rate cut. This is not some massive rate cut that will drive everybody to refi their mortgages that they locked under 3% during the pandemic, or necessarily pull everybody's credit card rates down significantly enough. But it is a move in the right direction. More rate cuts are likely coming from the Fed.
CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks. Jason, thanks. Take care. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
Good chatting with you.
Thank you, Jason Brooks. There. All right, so you hear it's a half a point. It's something. So, but again, don't look for your credit card rates to suddenly go from 25 or 26% to, you know, like 13. No. That ain't going to happen.
As we continue right here on a Thursday edition of Connecticut Today on WICC, a lot of people still talking about what apparently, although it's not been admitted to, was an operation by Israel to cause pagers, handheld walkie-talkie devices, and now we're hearing even solar panels to explode over the past few days. Who knew this tech was still being made and used, and what's the best guess as to how this was done? Joining us right now is an associate professor of computer science and the interim associate dean for academic affairs and programs at the School of Computing and Engineering at Quinnipiac University. Professor Brian O'Neill is with us. Brian, hi, it's Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Hi, Paul, doing great.
And thanks for joining us. You know, Ryan, it's funny. People heard this and they say, well, geez, beepers. Like, the last time I carried one, Brian, I think it was like 1996 or 97 or something like that. But I guess these devices, including like handheld radios and walkie-talkies we're hearing now, this stuff is still being produced, I guess?
Yeah, still being produced. Still pretty commonly used when you think about emergency services. Think like EMTs, doctors, fire. Part of it is just how robust they are compared to the cell phone network. When the cell phone network goes down, the network that these kind of devices work on actually is somewhat independent. So they can still send and receive signals even when during a disaster when cell phone network might be down.
So in a sense, it's old tech that really, because it's old, it kind of has a protection, Brian, against like some of these vulnerabilities, right?
Exactly.
So we heard this, and the experts like yourself and other people around the world started weighing in, and they came down to two conclusions, right, Brian? They said they thought it was either done through the network, through some sort of messaging, you know, as far as the beepers were concerned.
From what I've seen, the idea that this is more of a supply chain attack than anything like cyber looks like the most reasonable explanation, that somehow whoever did this, and I know Israel isn't taking claim for this at this point, has stepped into the supply chain process and was able to create beepers that they knew would be going to this group that had a small amount of explosive in them.
So it would have to be an explosive then? In other words, you couldn't run, say, Brian, a processor so hot that it would make the battery explode? So you're thinking with other experts that, they did something to these things as well.
Yeah, I think something had to be done to these. And it's not just a matter of making the battery or processor run that hot. It would make it hot, but I don't think that would get it to an explosive level. I think something else had to be done to manipulate these.
Now, we're also hearing, Brian, about, you know, this happening to, you know, handheld radios like walkie-talkies, I guess, are still being made. And there was also some reports of it happening with solar panels and that kind of equipment. So, again, you would think another different kind of intervention into the delivery and or the manufacturing stage?
That's what I would think, in particular for walkie-talkies. Again, it's another device that is something that they would be using because it's so robust and because it's so old tech. This is actually the first that I heard about anything with solar panels. That would be much different. I don't know how that might have gone down.
Yeah. Now, there is also a worry that, well, if they can do this, whomever it was, the Mossad or Shin Bet or somebody, are our enemies or evil actors getting an idea? But are you thinking that they would still have to do something physically, you know, in the supply chain?
I think they would have to do something physically in the supply chain. And from what we're seeing, this was contracted out to a smaller supplier. So it would have to be a situation like we saw of an organization explicitly buying pagers and handheld walkie-talkies for their members. Someone going out and buying themselves a pager right now, that's not really something we'd have to worry about.
So there's no way then, and from your expertise, no matter what sort of signal or anything that could be done, there's no sort of rogue signal that would make batteries that maybe lithium-ion batteries, we all know they tend to run warm or even hot sometimes, but there's no way you could possibly do that to get them explode. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not to my knowledge. This would require something else having been installed.
All right, great stuff. Professor Brian O'Neill, he's an associate professor of computer science and interim associate dean for academic affairs and programs in the School of Computing and Engineering at Quinnipiac University. Professor, thank you. We appreciate the time. Take care.
Thank you, Paul.
And one of our favorite voices every time this week, about a quarter past the hour or so in the 5 o'clock hour, Lenny Grimaldi, every Thursday, only at Bridgeport.com is the website. Mr. Grimaldi, how are you, sir? Good afternoon.
What do you mean one of the favorites? Come on, Uncle Paulie. One of the favorites?
If I say my favorite, then it gets all my other regular guests mad. Like Chris Caruso will get mad. Megan Portfolio will get mad. Dan Har will get mad. What?
What's the whole point? get mad at Uncle Paulie. Chaos.
Yeah, how are you? How are you? What do you hear? Did anything at all happen with Success Village today or not?
Yes. They're in court right now. The judge is in the middle of a break.
Oh.
They convened at 2 p.m., and the lawyers for Success Village and the City of Bridgeport and Stratford, which are trying to kick out this bankruptcy filing, you know, they're going at it pretty good. And this judge, you know, from what I hear, I've been talking to someone inside the courtroom.
Yeah.
Who's not happy with this bankruptcy filing.
Oh.
And, you know, the city in Stratford are hoping that they make a decision from the bench today so they can move forward and get this back at the Superior Court. Because they were in court a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
After the city in Stratford made a request for a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And Memphis Village Management doesn't want to lose the power, so they went in and filed for bankruptcy. And this is where we are right now.
Yeah.
And 2,000 people are waiting for heat and hot water to be turned up. And so in the courtroom today, Julie Manning is the federal bankruptcy judge in charge of this case. Mark Ratter, the lawyer for Success Village, was spelling out the case of, you know, if she allowed this bankruptcy, what would happen? And he said part of it will add a $300 special assessment. And she said, you want to charge the people who don't have any heat and hot water $300 more a month on top of the $500 they pay?
Wow.
So that was the kind of stuff. And the city has been introducing a bunch of exhibits. You know, the argument is this is a sham bankruptcy filing, a complete sham.
Yeah.
Right? And meanwhile, you've got people, 2,000 people out heat and hot water with the cold weather season on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be back. I mean, they may be back in session right now. I think she called for about a 25-minute break at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Well, it's possible she may, you know, render a decision from the bench today. I don't know. We'll see, you know, how this plays out. But, you know, it's if she throws out the bankruptcy filing, then we'll go be remanded back into the Superior Court. With Judge Dale Ratcliffe, and, you know, then he's going to answer the question, should there be a receiver to oversee Success Village? And my sense is the judge is going to go along with it because it's a complete catastrophe. It's a mess. And, you know, I wrote a story about it, you know, while this court is in session, you got federal law enforcement officials who are now probing this financial mess at Success Village.
Well, I would think so. Jeez, like, where's the money? Lenny, the big question, where's the money? Isn't that it?
Yeah. Where's the money? Where did it go? And so, as you noted earlier in your show, 2 years ago, Success Village had $1.9 million in receipts.
Jeez.
$1.9 million.
Yeah.
A million of that was spent on lawyers. Another $800,000 was spent on consulting and management fees.
Oh, my God.
They're spending money on lawyers, and now they have nothing in the bank.
Wow.
They are completely broke. Nothing. And now they want to charge extra fees. So, like, again, this thing is that financially is going to get pulled apart. But in addition to that, a lot of money was taken out of cash.
Oh,
people were making withdrawals at local banks. Right? So who was getting that money, and where did that end up? It's all going to come out at some point.
Oh, it has to. Lenny, you know what's going to happen? You know who has to save Success Village? And I know Stratford and Bridgeport and the state. You know what it's going to take, Lenny? I'm dead serious. We need, you know what those people need, Lenny? One of those big hedge fund guys or gals, right? From Greenwich, from Stamford, right? Steve Cohen for the Mets owner, 0.70. What's he, a $16 billion? He needs to write a nice check. Somebody on the Gold Coast, Lenny, write these poor people a check. Seriously.
Well, in the short term, Bridgeport and Stratford combined will kick in about $600,000 in a loan. And that is to just get the short-term boiler system in place.
Oh.
Right? And then for the long term, is going to have to be some bigger investment that goes forward. But, yeah, I think you need some kind of benevolent dictator to come in there. And you know, if she throws this bankruptcy application on, it goes back to Judge Ratcliffe, I think he's going to make a quick decision within a few days, perhaps.
Yeah. Lenny, what did you hear, besides the details we all know, have you heard anything about what went down this morning in Bridgeport and Ansonia with the threats? I mean, it's sad, and there's social media, and there's angry kids. Have you been able to either verify anything, any sources on this, or do you just know what the cops are saying?
Yeah, I know. I've been in touch with the education department today and and the police department. I've been examining their Facebook pages for updates.
Yeah.
But yeah, so last night, superintendent of schools announced that Carmela Libby David announced that they were going to delay school today because of this threat and build up security in conjunction with the police department. And so class arrival was late today, but they got another threat. Right.
Yeah.
And you don't need, what happens, you worry about these things, you know, copycats, right? Or just people, you know, messing around. And you had a situation in Sony as well, and other areas of the state and the country are getting these kinds of threats. So there's no, they announced, like midday today or so.
Yeah.
No classes, they sent the kids home today early, and there's no class tomorrow. And that's pretty much what we know right now, beyond this effort to try to, galvanize extra security for the schools for when the students come back.
Yeah. Finally, Lenny, in about the minute we have left, any thoughts on your, hey, there's a guy who could write a check for Success Village. Get your former boss on the phone there. You know, Lenny, a lot of people are saying, Kamala Harris is leading, but she's not leading as much as she should be. What do you make of this in about the minute we have left?
People are so baked in.
Yeah.
And it's baked in, freeze dried, whatever you want to call it. I think she has brought some people over. She does have some momentum, and we talked about international polls are strange and weird, and they're quirky. It didn't really matter. It's the battleground states, and that's what's fighting it out. And see, we're in Connecticut. We don't see any of the commercials.
We don't matter.
But there's still hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars out there that people are being flooded, inundated.
Yeah.
So we're battling at some margins, and even if you look at the battleground states, the Midwest or the Sun Belt states, Trump won that by like a quarter of a point.
Yeah, I know.
Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, right? Yeah, a quarter of a point. Biden won by a point or a point and a half.
Yeah.
It's so fragile. You're battling at the margins, and that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's in a good place. I think for him, the problem is she's starting to get good economic news, right?
Yes.
So if that starts kicking in more, they may say, hey, although they may feel that he has an advantage on the economy, that might be enough for some people who feel that, I'll give it a shot. But you're talking about such small margins right now in these battleground states that are going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Lenny Grimaldi, only at Bridgeport.com. Lenny, thanks. You hear anything from CORE, text me, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Lenny Grimaldi on WICC.